Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings and goodness, and I thank you as we sang that we are justified freely forever. And through the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that. I ask for the filling of your Spirit tonight to minister the word to your church. And I pray also you be with Sister Lindsay in the nursery, Father. Bless her and fill her with your Spirit as she cares for the children there, Father. And Lord, once again, if your Spirit will meet with us, we ask you that you would and direct us into your word, into understanding, and draw us closer to you, dear God. Thank you for the services this morning, for each one that came, for the word that went forth, Heavenly Father. I thank you that not only today, but every day, we celebrate your resurrection. And dear God, because you live, we live now spiritually, and we'll live also eternally with you, dear God, one day. And it will be a glorious day. We may sing it now, but we'll really know it then, dear God. And I pray you'd help us to know it more by faith, even now, that our hearts would be yearning, as we see so many were in the Word, just yearning for that time when you'd come. As John ended his letter in the end of the Bible, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Father, might our hearts be that way, but might we be busy until that time, might we occupy until you come. And do all that you've called us to do, all that we can do, and for your glory. So, Father, bless us tonight, we pray. Edify your church, glorify your name. And, Lord, we ask you these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Well, this is another one of those verses. We are looking at verses that people use to say that you can lose your salvation. And we've gone through a couple of them. He that shall endure unto the end, the same that shall be saved. And better that they have not known the way of righteousness than after having known the way and turning from the holy commandment. And it would have been better for them if they hadn't heard it all. We saw that in Hebrews and studied that a bit. Looked at that, and here's one that's used a lot, fallen from grace. Whosoever you are justified by law, you're fallen from grace. Now, this one shouldn't take long, because we've been going through the book of Galatians, and so we're expert in the book of Galatians, so we're looking at this, probably looking at this wonder and saying, why in the world would anybody use this to say you can lose your salvation, you know? And at least we ought to be getting there. So anyway, just to look at that and see what the context will teach us, we'll see obviously why this verse should not be used in that manner either. And we all we know and understand that in the book of Galatians, the church has been listening to false teachers, and Paul marveled that they had begun doing that so quickly. He wrote in Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And then he quickly shows them, which is not another, but there are those that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. So they're calling this another gospel, but there is only one gospel. And this, in fact, is not only not another gospel, it's a perversion of the one true gospel. This false teaching that he is addressing in the book of Galatians. So accurate is his gospel that he gave them. He says, but though we are an angel from heaven, chapter 1, verse 8, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul knew he was under the fullness of the Spirit, the influence of the Spirit, as he spoke and taught the Word of God. When he gave him that glorious gospel of grace, he knew that was the Holy Spirit speaking through him. He knew that was the Word of God that he was saying and preaching to them. But he also knew he's not perfect. He knew that as a man, if it's possible, he considered himself, if we or another come preaching, if I come back preaching you something else, then let me be accursed, is what he's saying. If we or an angel even comes down. He says, I know what I told you was inspired. I know what I told you was the truth. I know the Holy Spirit gave that message through me. So if I come back from something different from that, you better watch out for me. If an angel comes down from heaven and gives you a different message, you better watch out for them. And that's what he's saying. And so the gospel so clearly is by grace. He has declared unto us the gospel, what that is, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We looked at that many times. I'll look at that again for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. So gospel is what? It's proclaimed and received, isn't it? It's declared and it's received. He preached it to them. He declared it by preaching it to them, and they received it. And they, having received it, they could stand in that gospel. He says, by which also you're saved. So you're saved through the gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, the wrong message won't save you. If you kept it all straight, anyone who does the same thing and receives that message will what? Will be saved. He says, unless you have believed in vain. End of verse 2, 1 Corinthians 15. So how did they receive it? They believed it. They believed it, and they were saved by, they received it, believed it, were saved by believing it. And so what was that gospel? For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also received. Here it is. How simple. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's what they believed. That's what they trusted in. That's what he preached. That's what he declared. That's what they received. Take away from it, it will not be a saving message. Add to it, it will no longer be a saving message. And so he is concerned that they keep the gospel pure. And so he goes on, and he even talks about Christian growth in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul didn't just get saved by grace, what? He grew by grace, and he served by grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Now, unless you get mistaken there, he says, yet not I, but what? The grace of God, which was with me. I just yielded to the grace of God that was with me. And so verse 11, 1 Corinthians 15, therefore whether it were I or they, so we preach, and what? So ye believed. There you go. There's a complete connection. We preach the pure gospel. Those who believe it, what? Get saved. And they can stand in that salvation. Mess it up, and there's no salvation. And that's what he was so concerned about. It's the power of God. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed, what? Of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to what? Everyone that believeth. To him that to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And so they were beginning to receive the idea here in Galatians that their salvation began by grace, by the grace and mercy of God, but the false teachers snuck in, and they were teaching that salvation needed to be completed by the keeping of the law. Yeah, well, God has reached out to you Gentiles, you know, through this gospel, through Christ, you know, and included you into this. So you get saved by believing in Jesus Christ. But if you're going to stay saved, you're going to have to become a Jew, really. You're going to have to keep the law and follow these things in order to keep saved. That's what we've seen time and again they were trying to teach. So verse 3 says of Galatians 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now, they knew, we talked about this, they knew they began in the Spirit. Paul preached it, what? And they believed it. And they were transformed. They probably, as many did in those times, they probably spake in tongues when the Spirit came in. That was a time for that. And it was done biblically, by the way. And that probably happened. They had no doubt they received the Spirit. And they had no doubt they received the Spirit when they got when they what? Believed by faith. He says, and now are you made perfect by the flesh? Are you going to become mature? You're going to finish your salvation, you think, by keeping some set of rules, by some resolve of your own? You cried out to Christ for salvation. You don't think you're going to have to just continue to cry out to Him to grow and trust Him all along the way? See, salvation is a relationship. God has never made a way where we can think for a moment we can just discard Him and set Him out of the way and keep some set of rules. Salvation's all about a relationship. And he's within us. He's by our side. He's at our right hand. The Scripture says He's with us all the way, and wants to mature, not only save us, but to mature us by grace through faith in Him. We saw about those in the book of Acts, in Acts 15, how the Judaizers, and I won't go through all that because we've studied that recently, how they brought up, they're trying to add the law of Moses to salvation. And Peter kind of rebukes them at the end of that meeting that they had there. And he says in verse 7 of Acts 15, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Who's that? That's Cornelius. Remember, he went to Cornelius' house. Cornelius gathered all his family. Peter preached the gospel unto him, and he couldn't even get finished and give the invitation. But when Cornelius and them heard that Jesus was the Son of God and that He died for their sins, was buried and rose again, they must have believed and trusted in their heart, because the Bible said the Spirit came upon them and indwelt them before Peter could even finish the sermon. All right, and Peter said, "Whoa, the Spirit saw them." They probably began speaking in tongues. That was what God did at that time to help escalate the spread of the gospel. And so Peter said, they're saved just like we are. And I didn't even mention the law. All I mentioned was Jesus died and rose again, and we need to believe in Him. And he said, and God gave them this. By the way, they're not even baptized yet, and they have the Spirit. And so, you know, so baptism's not even required for salvation. So he says, who can forbid water? He'd brought six Jews with him, if I remember correctly. He says, so who can hinder water? Who among us can, you know, hinder that they can stop these from being baptized? You know, they got the Holy Spirit just like we do. And so they baptized them just like they should have. And so Peter was saying that was what he said there. So, and so he remembers that, and he says, now God with knowledge of the hearts, verse 8 of Acts 15, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us. They got it without the law too, didn't they? They got it by just believing and trusting, didn't they? He says, He put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts, what? By faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Why are you trying to put the yoke of law on them? They're going to be saved by the grace. By the way, our salvation has a what? A past, a present, and a future, doesn't it? The past is when you trusted Christ. You got born again, and the Spirit came into you. God's changing. That's the present. You have been saved. You are being saved. And by the way, you will yet be saved. You're already saved. From hell. That's already guaranteed. By the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, Peter said in Acts 15:11. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 10. 1 Thessalonians 1, Paul writing to that church there among one of his earliest letters. Some believe his earliest letter, 1 Thessalonians 1. Paul was talking about how God had transformed them in verse 8. The word sounded out from them so that all Macedonia heard. And he said their faith to Godward is spread abroad in verse 8. So we need not to speak anything. Everyone had known about their transformation. For they themselves, all the things that God had done through them, show of us what manner of entering we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Other things were first in their life. They worshiped false gods. They turned from whatever they were worshiping and what? Worship the true God. Not only were they saved, but he was what? He was first in their life. They were serving him. And he says, you turn from idols to serve the living and true God. And look at verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered, past tense, us from the wrath to come, future tense. You're already delivered from something that hasn't even happened yet, folks. Aren't you glad about that? Already delivered from the wrath to come. And why? Faith in Jesus alone, and the great God's grace that he has done that for us. And so we see that. So Paul is surprised, having been taught these things, that they would yield to this teaching. Look what he says in Galatians 4 in verse 20. And I don't think the book, our study on Wednesday night, is going to go through this study from this angle that I'm looking at it tonight. Some of it doesn't. So we'll get a little different angle at these verses tonight, even when we go through the book itself on Wednesday night. But Galatians 4:20, Paul writes, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. I'm wondering about you. Did you receive what I gave you? Some of you. He knows some of them did, but are there some among you perhaps that didn't? He says, tell me, verse 21, ye that what? Desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? Didn't you get the message of what the law says? And what does it say? Well, he told us back in Galatians 3:10. As many as are the works of the law are under the curse. That's pretty plain, isn't it? If you're saying works of the law are required for my salvation, then guess what you're under? You're under the curse. As many, no exceptions, as are under the works of the law. Of course, there's one exception, Jesus Christ. He kept it all. Under the curse, for it's written, cursed is everyone that what? Continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's not a 99%. That's a continual 100%. If you haven't accomplished that, then according to the law, you're cursed. Period. End of discussion. Why would you want to be under the law? And he's taught them that plainly. Don't you understand that everyone who's ever sinned cannot be justified by the law, but they're guilty before God? Galatians 3:10 there. If you're under the works of the law, you're under the curse. And so you can't be justified by the law. It's clear. Look at verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident or very clear. For the just what shall live by faith. Now we studied that quote from the Old Testament. The only way you live spiritually and have eternal life is by faith. Because you can't earn it. Because we haven't kept it. Somebody had to keep it for us. So if that faith wasn't good enough, guess what? We don't have any hope. We don't have any hope. But that faith, praise God, faith in Christ is good enough, but because of God's grace. And so he's surprised that they yielded to this teaching. He says in verse 13 of Galatians 3, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. We saw that in the study this past time we were in there. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He became a curse for us. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:14. And so we see that. And so look at Galatians 5:4. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, what does that mean that Christ has become of no effect unto you? Of no no effect unto you. Well, that Bible word effect, that word means it's made of that phrase there is become of no effect unto you is two words in the Greek. And the first one is a particle, a preposition, meaning a state of separation. It can be a physical of distance, time, place, temporal of distance and time. And the other word is katargeo, and it means to do away, to abolish, to lose, to cease, to fall, to deliver, to render idle, unemployed, inactive, inoperative, to cause a person or thing to have no further efficiency, to deprive of force, influence, power. You see, they got saved by grace through faith. And now if a believer, born again, saved by grace through faith, says, now I'm going to keep the law to finish my salvation, that's alien to the gospel. You have just separated yourself from all that Christ died for. Now, may I ask you, when you set your mind to say, now I'm going to deserve my salvation, may I ask you, under what power are you going to do that? Because guess what? You have just cut yourself off from the power of Jesus Christ. And you are not going to go what? Forward. You're not going to be effectual. You're not going to go forward in your Christian life now with that kind of mindset. You can't. It's impossible. You got saved by grace, and you've got to grow by grace. And so you're stuck. Brother Brian and Brother Matt come one time, come and deliver me. We got stuck in my other truck. I got stuck in this one. got stuck in my other truck. Got off the road into a soft field going around one of the big snowstorms we had one summer, and they came and pulled me out with their Suburban, but couldn't get anywhere. And the four-wheel drive was going out in the truck. Turn away from grace, guess what? You're stuck. Where do you think you're going? You think you're going to go forward in your Christian life? There's nowhere to go. You're not going to go forward. Look at verse 6. For in Jesus Christ... neither circumcision, what we keep, that's the avail anything, nor uncircumcision, whether you have a law that says do or whether a law that says do not, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. That's the only thing that takes you forward in the Christian life, is faith that works by love. Faith that works by love. You say, just out of resolve and sweat, I became more faithful to church. Well, good for you. If it didn't come by faith and love, that's called self-righteousness. did you know you could be faithful in church and not be spiritual? What brings you here? Are we here for Jesus? Jesus said, "What if you love me, keep my commandments?" That's what true holiness is. That's what true righteousness. Righteousness is when the Spirit is producing that through faith and through love toward Christ. You see, people can mimic the things of God. You know, anybody can read their Bible, and those things. But we need to have the Spirit moving us to do that and be yielding to Him. It's the Spirit, and it's faith which works by love. Neither circumcision availeth. That's an interesting word. You know what that means? Avail. To be able. To prevail. To be empowered is what that's saying there. To be strong, to be robust, to be sound in health, to have power, to have strength to overcome, to be a force to avail. You see, when you get saved and say, "Okay, now I'm going to be righteous by keeping the law and finish my salvation by keeping the law," you've just cut yourself off from power. But what does avail? What does empower? Faith with works by love. When you go back to say, I want to know Jesus more. I want to be more like Him. And as you read your Bible, you want to walk closer with God. And the Holy Spirit convicts you of some sin that's grieving Him. And so you confess that sin, 1 John 1:9. And you say, "Oh God, give me deliverance from that. I want to be more like Your Son." Guess what? Faith and love are what? Are moving you forward. And when we deal, everything in our life works that way. It's that power, that motivation that's available. It's that faith and love that's moving us forward in our spirituality, in our growing, drawing closer to Jesus Christ, and we see that that God has designed it that way. What did Peter say about growing? He says. In 2 Peter 3:17, he says, "You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before," we know about false teachers, "beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." God wants us to be faithful for Him. He says, but grow how? In grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And what does the Bible tell us about the throne of grace? Seeing we have this high priest that says, let us therefore come boldly, what? Unto the throne of what? Grace. That we may obtain what? Mercy. And find what? Grace to help in time of need. See, if you're not looking for those things, you can't get help from the throne. And if Jesus don't help you, how are you going to go forward? Without me, you can't do what? Nothing. You see? So if you resort to that kind of teaching, you cut yourself off from the supply of Christ's strength, and you grieve the Holy Spirit. And the misery of your life will testify to your wrong decision. And bad doctrines always corrupt. Bad doctrines always bring that sorrow and those kind of things. And the good doctrines, what? Always bring that fullness of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. And it'll show eventually. And we'll be the ones that suffer for it. We come boldly to the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then Galatians 5:7, look what Paul writes. He says, ye did run well. Who did what? Hinder you. He's just talking about them what? Being hindered in their Christian life. Who did hinder you? That you should not obey the truth. How would they be hindered? They'd have no power to go forward, you say. And their testimony would fail. And if that message remained in the church eventually would not be a light. Eventually there'd be no more believers there. All the only message they would be hearing would be, believe Jesus and keep the law. And so nobody would be saved. And pretty soon there'd be no power, no light there. You see? And that's what would have happened. So, falling from grace is very simple. Well, what did the verse say there in Galatians 5? Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. So somebody tells you, well, you can lose your salvation. The Bible says you can fall from grace. You just tell them, well, the Bible says that's for those who think they're justified by the law. That's all you got to say. That's what it's talking about. If you think you can keep some law to be justified, you're fallen from grace. By the way, what law would have saved us if some law would have worked? The law that God gave, right? What does, Galatians 3:21. Is the law against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. You see that? There's some people that profess to be believers, they lose your salvation. They say, well, when it says, we don't keep the law of Moses, but we just have to keep the commands that Jesus shown us. Well, wait a minute. My Bible says if any law could have given you life, the law of Moses would. By the way, most of those are repeated for us, aren't they? If any law could have given life, that one would. That's what the Bible says. You have some other law? Some other law that you can attain righteousness by it? No way. It's what? It's justification, what? By faith. And by faith alone in Christ. That's it. So just tell them, oh, falling from grace, that's just for those who think they're justified by the law. Those who think they can be seen as righteous by their good works. That's what that verse is for. If they believe that, they've gotten away from grace. Because grace says you can't. That's why we need grace. And so just remember that when they try to share that with you. All right. I have a few minutes. I have some missionary letters here. I want to read one actually that just came in just the other day. I told you I was going to try to start reading them more frequently. And as they come in, then I'm going to try to do that. This is from the Klein family, our missionaries in Argentina to the Mapuche people. And Brother Klein writes, mission update. Your missionaries to the Mapuche in Argentina and Chile are moving to Chile. We have spent nearly 9 incredible years in Argentina. While we are saddened to leave those whom God has put in our lives here, we are excited to see what God has for us in Chile. We recently spent a week in Chile with Kyle Sheridan and his family in the city of Coyhaique. Coyhaique is how it's pronounced. Coyhaique. Our family met the congregation of Iglesia Biblica Baptista in Coyhaique, Bible Baptist Church of Coyhaique. We also had the opportunity to go door knocking and visit with some Mapuche in the community. While in Chile, I preached a Sunday night service and participated in the Baptist Hour radio program. After much prayer, I feel God is moving our family to Chile to work with Brother Sheridan in this ministry. Coyhaique has a population of 60,000 people. It is 9 hours south and 2 hours west of our current home of El Maiten, population 6,000. The name Coyhaique comes from the Mapuche word koi, meaning water, and ike, meaning place where there is water. It is an area within a couple hours of the Pacific Ocean and filled with many rivers and waterfalls. Our family plans on ministering with Brother Sheridan in the Coyhaique community. I will be preaching and teaching discipleship classes. I will also be teaching English classes as a way to reach the people and taking advanced Spanish classes to learn the Chilean Spanish and to improve my Spanish. Prayer requests. Traveling mercies as we drive between El Maiten and Coyhaique. Finding a house to rent. The rent in Coyhaique is more than triple than we are currently paying. Safety in the new and much bigger city where we are moving. Ease of transition from Argentina to Chile. So, amen. God does that times. He directs us and moves us as we are listening to him. This is from their home church, their sending church, Berean Baptist Church in Pendleton. And Pastor Mark Watkins writes, "Dear friend of Jeff and Nancy Klein, the Klein family has been on the field in South America since 2005. One vital aspect of the successful ministry is growth. With growth comes changes and refinement of one's ministry practices and ministry outlook. God has opened a door of greater opportunity to the Kleins in the country of Chile and reaching the Mapuche people in South America. This change comes with several advantages: a larger population center. The city of Coyhaique, Chile, has 60,000, whereas El Maiten is 6,000. A team, the Kleins will be working with the Sheridans, a missionary couple of like faith and practice. I learned in construction that two men could accomplish four times as much work as one man. They can mutually encourage one another to a common goal. More training. Brother Jeff Klein can get more extensive language training in this city, plus teach English as a form of outreach. I heartily encourage you to support the Klein family in their continued endeavors to reach the Mapuche for Christ. If you have any other questions, I can be reached," and gives the number there. So we certainly will continue to support them and all that they do. And I'm going to read one more, and then we'll pray for them and be done for the night. And this is from the Rogers family in Brazil. And they'd come back on furlough and are back in Brazil. Writes to the church, "We arrived back in Brazil on February 7th. It was an eventful return trip back to the field, but after 3 days of traveling on five airplanes and a 7.5-hour bus ride, including some problems with our luggage, we finally made it back home. Even though our checked-in baggage did not arrive with us that day, we were pleasantly surprised the next day when they delivered all our luggage to our front door." Amen. Our children were probably not as happy as mom and dad because that meant that they now have some schooling to do. Thank you so much for your prayers for our safe return. It truly was a heavenly blessing to return to the work and see God's people continuing to serve him faithfully. Our first service back was for the young people's church service that they started on Saturday nights. Remember, we talked about that. They got five services now. Their people started one on Saturday for the young people. The average attendance is 20 at that service. It was so nice to see the laborers from our, the laborers from our church running this service and young people growing in the Word. The people were very excited to show us the progress that they have made on the construction of the church while we were away. We praise the Lord that the intern pastor did a great job of teaching them about being faithful in financial giving and taking care of God's house. Many churches down here do not respect their neighbor and disturb them while with very loud modernistic music and clamorous chant-like prayer services. It has always been my goal that our church would have a wonderful testimony with our neighbors so that in God's timing, we will be able to witness to them. The other day while I was working in the church for a couple of hours, two different neighbors made a point to come over to tell me how happy they are that the church is there and how nice our people have been to them. Praise the Lord, the little effort in showing a Christ-like spirit goes a long way in reaching our neighborhood for Christ. Amen. What a good testimony. What a pleasure it is to preach to a group of people that truly desire to learn and grow in God's Word. The focus of the church for this year is broken down into three parts: win souls, make disciples, establish churches. All of the messages for the next 3 months will be to help renew our focus for witnessing. Sunday night, the message was entitled, Are You a Soul Winner? Preached from Proverbs 11:3. Oh, what a blessed service it was, with even first-time visitors responding. Even during the week, there were two men that called me to make a visit with him to witness to some friends down the street. I skipped the line here. There were two men that called me asking for more tracts to hand out at one of the public schools here in town and to their friends. Adamir, who is 19 years old, asked me to make a visit with him to witness to some friends down the street from his house. When we first went in, there were four of us in the living room. After a few minutes, we had 15 people in the home, and they gave me liberty to start preaching Christ unto them. We pray that they will start to come to church as they promised, and that we will be able to reach them with the gospel. With what an encouragement it is to join together with the people of this ministry as we reach Brazil for Christ. Prayer requests for the Lord's help to rebuild the Wednesday night services and Sunday school, as attendance has dropped a lot while we were away. Salvation for the visitors we have seen in the past few weeks. We praise the Lord that we are able to find a vehicle to purchase, amen, and that they are giving us a month to pay it off, which is very rare. We want to thank the churches who have helped with this need. So far, we look forward to seeing how God will help us pay off the rest. So, amen. Wonderful to be in fellowship with these missionaries and hearing people get saved, lives getting changed, and people ministering for the Lord. And what a blessing. Let's pray for these missionaries, their families, and the people that they're ministering to. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Kleins. We thank you for the Rogers. And they've been serving you faithfully on the field for many years. And they've taken their families. They've seen their families grow up on a foreign field. And dear God, they've been preaching the gospel faithfully. And Father, all those who've received it have been born again. And every life that's been born again, being transformed by your power and by your grace. And Father, many have had that burden, that desire to reach out to others. And God, just that they might know the same God, the same Christ that they know. And Father, we thank you that we're able to have a part of that and to hear these reports about that. And now, Father, thank you for getting the Rogers back there safely, providing every need. Help them get this vehicle paid off, that building finished. And bless those new services that have been started. I pray for the classes that need to be rebuilt. Father, give them grace and strength going out. And as they labor to invite people and get those back, perhaps, that have wandered. And God, just help them and bless them there. Keep them safe. Watch over them. Bless them. We thank you for the Rogers. We pray also for the Kleins now in this move. And I'm sure it's hard. And I'm sure that there's people that they've grown to love. They've poured their lives into them for all these years. More than 10 years now, 13 years or 12 or 13 years now, just pouring their lives into them there. And Father, now they're assured that you're calling them to move to Chile. And so, Father, help them, keep them safe. It's a bigger city. There'll be more dangers there. And Father, I pray to watch over them, keep them safe. And yet there'll be more opportunities, Father, to share the gospel, help them. Sharing the gospel, help him in the part that he'll have with the teaching the English class and perhaps with a radio program and just reaching out and helping them in that ministry. Help them, do help them be encouragement to one another, that they might remain faithful and strong. And ultimately, God, that souls would be saved, lives would be changed. More people would come to know you, know the joy that we know of communing with you every day, of calling upon your name every day, and of the peace and the wondrous and wonderful fruits of the Spirit that you give in our lives as we yield to you and as we let your word fill our lives and your Spirit direct us. So, Father, help us in these things. Help your dear missionaries. Bless your dear church tonight. I'm thankful for each one here. And God, help us as we endeavor to do what we can do and to live the best that we can for your glory in the days that you would give us remaining. Father, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.